Great song, isn't it? Wow. Good to be back again in front of you. Able to share the greatness of God's Word. What a privilege it is. Amen? Amen. I hear that again. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. What a tremendous privilege it is, because you know what we're going to be talking about today? It's a subject that has become very near and dear to my heart over the past few years. I'll tell you that much. But a couple weeks ago, I was able to attend a rock musical at Awakened Church up in San Marcos called Hero. And Hero was all about the life ministry and finished work of Jesus Christ. And it just got me really thinking about this. As we all know, we're in the resurrection time of year, so it's pretty thought-provoking, I got to say. But that's how we want to present ourselves in this life. We want to live like Christ. We want to be like Christ. And as time goes on here on this earth, it's inevitable that we are going to face things that are contrary to what the Word of God says about us. The question is always, what is our response going to be? That is my favorite question of all time. What is our response going to be to these situations? I figured I would start off this morning by reading a little bit of a story. And this little short story is called, "The Most Important Thing May Not Be What You Think." Emma's day started on a positive note. She had a lot to do, but she was up early and ready to tackle the list. She had her normal cup of water with breakfast, got ready, and headed to the stores to take care of some errands. The hot summer day blazed down on her, but she didn't take much notice of it. She had to get these errands done and get to work on time. She had water in her purse, but she didn't take the time to stop and drink it. The thought crossed her mind that she hadn't drunk it enough, but she ignored the thought. There just wasn't enough time to stop and drink. At one point, she meant to get some water when she got to work, but she soon became engrossed in other tasks and forgot all about it. While she was inside some of the afternoon at work, she had to go outside for periods too, but she failed to drink much at all. This wasn't the first day she hadn't been drinking a lot either. Her liquid intake had become more sporadic for days. Life had just become so busy. By the time night came, Emma was exhausted. She felt cold and clammy and nauseous. Why were her muscles aching so? Why was she starting to shake? Slowly, it dawned on her. She was dehydrated. A friend explained that dehydration had actually led to heat exhaustion, and that if she didn't stop and hydrate, she could wind up in a serious condition. As she lay doubled over in pain, she wished with all her heart she'd taken the time to hydrate earlier. The hydration she'd been putting off was what had really been the most important thing on her schedule. Only she hadn't realized it. Well, as you look into life's picture frame, and when the storms of life approach and eventually hit, do you also want to be the one who forgets to stop and drink from God's cup of love and grace? Who else has been so enthralled in the daily turmoil of life that you forget the most important thing in your schedule? To be the one that goes, and goes, and that eventually realizes you're burnt out and dehydrated? Well, I think it's safe to say that we would want to try our best to not be like Emma in that story. To do something so simple yet so vital for our own survival and well-being, eventually coming to the realization of being burnt out and restless and not seeing any results. The question then presents itself. When you think of yourself in the presence of God, what picture comes to mind? So this morning, I was just inspired. I've been inspired over just the past few years, really. This topic is just so phenomenal, and I've titled this, "The Picture-Perfect Presence of God." Picture a storm, first picture. When a storm approaches, what's usually the first thing that people do? They take shelter. They find refuge. But when life storms approach, where do you want to find shelter? Where do we want to take refuge? Maybe we should do our best to find refuge in the presence of God and ask Him to lead the way and show us where we should be instead of allowing the pressures of the world to distract us from having to drink of God's goodness. Anxiety, fear, worry, or any of the other things that are happening out in this world, they do not take God by surprise. God knows. He probably knows that they're going to happen. Well, He does know that they're going to happen before even we find out. So they don't take God by surprise. So perhaps in our pursuit of happiness and peace, we should try and have a moment of stillness from time to time and just let God be God. Why not? That's how we find rest. You know, keeping ourselves in the presence of God is probably the foundation of what we do as born-again ones. One of the best things we can do for our spiritual well-being. And we're so programmed to keep running a race that has no finish line. And that's the challenge we're up against, folks. Day-to-day living, right? As soon as the alarm clock goes off to the races. Time to go, go, go. Some of the world's most motivational quotes encourage us to keep going with no break in sight. The sky is the limit. Okay. Don't stop now. Keep going. Your victory is right around the corner. Never give up. Nothing is ever right around the corner. That's a phrase that indicates a nondescript period of time. And maybe the time to stop and have a glass of water is right then and there. Race to the finish line. That's another one. Race to the finish line. Push harder and harder. Until you get to an ultimately unattainable goal that's usually imagined by the five senses realm. Why don't you go to Isaiah 40:31. Classic verse, but can't get enough of it. It paints such a picture. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. See the word wait? There's the pause button. Power the pause button. Breathe. Have some water. And then, the thing that kind of fascinates me is the promise that follows is that God is going to rise us up like eagles. And if you've ever seen these big birds that just fly through the air, notice they take a few flaps, then they stop. And they keep just gliding through the sky at the same altitude. These few seconds are for the birds so that they can take a moment of rest, so that they can finish the journey ahead. A few seconds in time for them to rest their wings so that they can refresh and continue the journey ahead. And in many respects, that's against the philosophy of the world to push harder and harder. So, if life on this earth is so temporary, then why should we allow ourselves to become dehydrated in God's presence? You know, St. Augustine, I don't know much about him. They say he's a saint. But St. Augustine once said, "You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." And I'm here to tell you that unless you rest in God, you will continue to be restless. And you will always be searching for someone or something to give you the rest that only God can really truly give. Yeah. And when I picture myself fully in the presence of God, I picture perfect rest. That's what I picture. Quite frankly, people are running from the presence of God these days. And they look at their own unworthiness, their own failures, their own accomplishments, and whatever else it is that they can think of, and it keeps them out of the presence of God. Now, there's a fascinating thing that happened. Why don't you go to Genesis chapter 3. Right after, as soon as the fall of man occurred. Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired and make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, well, they hid themselves. They were ashamed. They didn't run to God, they ran from God. And that is just a big common characteristic of human beings. When we're down or a mistake is made, when our feelings are hurt, we get offended, we offend somebody, something happens, we run from the presence of God. But we know this so hard, that's the one place where we should be running to. Part of the sin nature. And it amazes me because Adam and Eve were in the most perfect environment. Whatever that means to you, that probably means no mosquitoes, no irritating things that would drive you insane, not thinking about yourself or your work, your pains, your worries. Hey, you fill in the blank, man. There are so many things that distract us from the presence of God. But today's a new day. Forget about what happened before you walked in this room. Today's a new day. It's one filled with hope and expectation. You think that you bring the presence of God with you everywhere you go? Absolutely. Last time I kind of shared on subject, I like to call owning the Christ in you. And you take that Spirit of God wherever you go into whatever it is you do, and you do your best. And God will bring you to places of honor, and He will increase you. Everywhere we go, we have the opportunity to release presence of God. I'd like to go to a record in Exodus 33. You know, ever since the fall, mankind has looked for ways to enter into the presence of God again. Unfortunately, it's disguised itself through faulty religious systems and man's pride. Whereas the simple re-entry into God's presence, although it's simple, has somehow now become hurtful, harmful, and difficult. It has been relegated to a system of do's and don'ts and has caught much of mankind picturing God as unkind and unjust. You know this is exactly true. Dr. Rowell once said that one of the cruelest of all things is religion. Religion, not the people sitting out in a prison cell who have committed some horrific crime. What keeps people down and what keeps people in bondage and out of the presence of God more than anything else in this life is religion. Religion keeps people sin conscious. But God is into freedom, right? Jesus said, if you will continue in my word, then you shall be free. Free. We need to be free to operate and to walk. Right now, we're going to go to Exodus. Moses was quite a guy. And finds himself in the situation with children of Israel. We're not going to look at the whole thing, but maybe you can do that at some point in time, or maybe you're familiar enough with the record. But God says something to Moses that I just find so fascinating. And in Exodus 33, go to verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with thee, there is not a pence. This is such a phenomenal thing in God's Word, because ever since the fall, all God has really been trying to do is open a door for mankind to get back into His presence. And it all started in Genesis 3:15 with the promised seed. And all throughout the Old Testament, over and over again, God has been showing His presence. And there's been just many, many analogous figurative ways of showing us ultimately what it took through the work of Jesus Christ for man to get back into God's presence. How about the tabernacle? Wasn't there something in the tabernacle that indicated the presence of God? What about the ark? Wasn't that something that indicated the presence of God? What about the temple? What about when God led the children of Israel through the desert? Pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day. Over and over again, God is showing His presence. Wow. Go to Psalm 37 for a second here. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Don't get lost in Psalm. It's a giant book. All right. There we go. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verify thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Patience. And patience has become such a lost concept, don't you think? And people, you know, it's like people want everything now. Instant gratification, the need for speed. You just pause and put yourself back into the presence of God. Okay, Psalm 23. Psalm 23 probably has the most mind pictures of any other chapter I've ever read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Talk about the picture-perfect presence of God, huh? See it? Green pastures, still waters, paths of righteousness, the house of the Lord. Slow down. And in those moments, engage yourself in conversation with the Father. Ever seen a person attempt to converse with somebody else and that other person just didn't want to talk or they didn't keep the conversation going? Happens all the time. But if you don't respond and allow the Father to talk with you on a personal level, there is no conversation. And you're not allowing yourself to be in His presence. Speaking of having a glass of water from time to time, something in God's Word that also just fascinates me. God is sometimes referred to as the fountain of living waters. And you could read about that in Jeremiah 2:13 at some point in time. But we used to sing a song back in the songbook times called I Shall Not Be Moved. And the lyrics were, I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the living waters. Oftentimes when people get to a place of unrest, that's where they don't think they'll see any fruit or results. The solution? Put yourself in the presence of God. The storms of life will rage all around us. But if we bring ourselves to a point where we will rest in His presence, then life will become very fruitful. Yeah, this is such a great subject. It's become one of my favorites all time. We need to allow God to have His reign in its rightful place. All that Christ did and accomplished, He said, it is finished. And He sat down at the Father's right hand. We struggle and try so hard in our strength to accomplish something Christ has already done on our behalf. Why not accept what Christ has already done and give ourselves a break? The only reason why you and I sit here, draw breath, is because of what Christ has done on our behalf. And God has great expectations for us. And He has plans for us. We just need to allow Him to move and to work. Someone once said that the will of God isn't a burden to carry, but a pillow to rest on. His presence will go with us, and He will give us rest. His picture-perfect presence. Wow. So then the question presents itself yet again. When you see yourself in the presence of God, what picture comes to mind? Green pastures? Still waters? Perfect peace? Paths of righteousness? The fountain of living waters? I trust that this morning has been refreshing for you. And we've looked at the subject quite a few times in the past. But being in God's presence is the foundation of who we are. If we're not in God's presence, then what's the point? So keep your thoughts on Him and you will continue to see great results, great fruit, and He will give you rest. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I want to close out with prayer. And then while I am praying, I'm going to lift up some things up to the Father. I know some people have needs for physical deliverance and things like that. So I'm going to lift those things up as well. All right? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning with just softened hearts, Father. We know that you are the God of the impossible. We know that you are God of miracles. So with that being said, I want to lift up those in the body of Christ that need physical deliverance. I know there's quite a few at the moment. So you know what needs to be done, Father. You know all the details. So we're just going to lift all of those situations in one big clump up to you, Father. And as we find rest in you, as we put ourselves in your picture of perfect presence, we expect to see great results, Father. So thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for just everything. And probably all we can say is thank you. Because words just don't add up when it comes to you, Father. So I pray for each person in this room and those who have called in on the conference call, Father, that you just bless their lives and give us the rest that we really need to do our best for you, Father. So I pray for all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.